Oh, you
no,
won't
no,
count,
no,
right?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Okay, so, hello.
Hi.
One more week, I think, in this tiny room, and then we're free. But we're meditators, so we can adapt, right?
Yes.
Otherwise, what are we doing this for? So, as you know, we've been going through what's called the Lojong teachings. It's just a fancy word for mind training. Don't get nervous. And it's really about how to incorporate what we do on the cushion into our lives, basically. And it's broken down into 7 sections, I believe, 59 slogans. And what's cool about this little compassion box set is they actually have them written down. So, you know, the point is to work with them, not just come to class and then go back to life and forget. But to, if one of these sticks in your head this week, to really bring it up and to contemplate it, reflect on it, and to try, if it's a practice slogan, to actually practice it, right? That's the whole point of this stuff. I hope that's what you're trying to do, is to practice with it. So last week we just went over the preliminaries, and I'm not going to go too much into it, but basically on one level the preliminaries is seated meditation, right? And we were talking about just counting the breath as the foundation for everything that's going to be taught after this. And just everything that we've learned prior to me exploring this is you have to have the preliminary down. You have to have that foundation of concentration. Otherwise, you get swept away by every mood, every situation, every experience, every thought in the mind. So if we don't have any foundation of letting thoughts go, of being present moment by moment, all this other stuff's not going to work because you're not going to be able to do it, right? Because you're going to forget. You're going to be too caught. And then on the other level, part of the kind of preliminaries were these 4 things. Again, I'm not going to go into too much depth, but maintain an awareness of the preciousness of human life, that this is a rare, precious opportunity, being alive in a human body on this planet. So not to waste it, right? And to see, you know, the specialness of our situation, as much pain as there might be involved in it, it's still special and pretty amazing. The second one is be aware of the reality that life ends, so death is going to happen, right? It's not, and what a day to be reminded, right? Ash Wednesday, you know, that you are dust and you will go back to dust. I mean, that's part of, that's not all of it, but that's part of the reminder, right? So you might, when you see people today with ashes on your head, contemplate, my life will end. And what am I doing with it? How am I living? You know, and I know that's a scary thing that we don't want to think about, but it's profound and it can really transform the way you meet your life and how you choose to live it when you really understand that you don't have time. We might, but I mean, you know, look how fast it went already, right? So then the third is recall whatever you do has a result. So basically it's saying karma, right? That everything you, every thought you indulge in, every word you speak, every action you take, it's going to have consequences, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Maybe it's negative if you're doing naughty things, but you know, but you have, it's very interconnected. Like everything you do is very interconnected. So just be very mindful of that. And then what's the other one? That suffering and pain is a part of life. That's the other part. That is just, this is a part of life, and that's how it goes in this world. So not getting too lost in difficulty and trying to maintain pleasure all the time. You get the you get the special seat. Right
you get
next to me.
That's fine with me.
So I'll tell you this. Most of these are very practical and easy to understand. This, just today, and I'm going to make it practical and easy to understand, but just today is probably the most abstract. It's not abstract. It's kind of what's true. But it can seem abstract if you've never heard this stuff before. So the second, so after training in the preliminaries, there's this next section of absolute and relative bodhicitta. And we talked about what that means, awakened mind, or the spiritual desire to wake up for the welfare of all beings. So again, don't get like nervous about foreign words, right? Right? Like we said last time, hola, it just means hello. Right? It's just another way of saying something. It's just a different language. So we're not like, you know, don't worry about it. We'll be okay. So I'll use awakened mind or compassionate mind, or again, that desire to wake up for the welfare of everyone. And that's the important part, that second part. It's not just so I feel good. It's so we can ease the suffering in the world. I mean, that's, you know, a big part of this practice. And that's a big source of joy too, you know, helping other people. So to explain the difference between, let's say, absolute and relative, just in general, I just have this analogy that seems to work. So on a relative level, I have many different parts of my body, right? My fingernails are different than my knee, right? My heart's different than my eyes. My hair is different than my skin, right? So we call these things different names because they look different, right? And they appear very different. And they surely are, right? My hand is definitely different than my foot. So we have these conveniences or names, and we call these different parts body parts, right? So that's like, I guess you could say, the relative level. We might have to just grab a chair from the other room. So that's a relative. Does that make sense? And as far as like you and I, the relative level is I'm Mark and you're who you are and here we are and we're all different, right? Now the absolute level is this whole thing is one body, and it doesn't, there really is no separate parts. There's different parts, but it's all part of one. So it's not, on the absolute level, fingers are not separate than toes. Hair is not separate from skin. They all arise mutually dependent on each other. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. This is where it can get kooky. But it's very simple. It's very simple. Right? So, you know, we're not saying there isn't difference. There surely is difference. But what the absolute is reminding us is that there's also oneness. Right? And then on the level of just us, yes, there is difference. But there's also oneness. Right? It might not appear that way because our mind has created, you know, a world that creates separation, but things are not as separate as they seem. So when we talk about, let's say, well, let me talk to the relative, that's easier. If I say relative compassion, or bodhicitta, or whatever, awakening, that's like our everyday life. And to you, since it is Ash Wednesday, and most of us probably come from a Judeo-Christian background, relative is my will. What I try to do when I wake up in the morning, I try to be kind and, you know, live my best way and do what I can do and try to ease the suffering in the world. And then absolute is like thy will, right? Because I might try to do all these things, but if I just try to do it by myself, I'm exhausted. I get caught in success and failure. But if I'm reminded that there's a bigger picture that I'm a part of, that there's a oneness that I'm a part of, then I can relax a little bit. Right? Like I can still do everything on the relative level that I'm capable of doing, but at the same time I can let go and be at ease knowing that I'm not in control of everything. Does that make sense? Okay. So far. We're going good. Okay, so so on the teachings of the absolute compassion or whatever has six things, and let me see where I wrote here something important that I wanted to read real quick. Yeah. Okay, so the essential meaning of these slogans, these four or five, whatever that there are, is to connect with the open, spacious quality of your mind. So that's when we're talking about this absolute stuff. We're trying to come to the truth of how things are. So everything I've talked to you guys about over the past year or whatever, It's all saying the same thing. We're trying to come to some truth about who we are, what is the nature of reality, of our suffering, of our minds, and we're trying to get to the depth. So, and you know, they put this second, this is like a lifetime of practice, but they put it second, the second thing is, okay, realize this deep stuff, right? And you might think that's a mistake, or, you know, that that shouldn't that be at the end? But again, going back to what I was saying, if you don't have this deeper understanding and this deep peace and ease within yourself, you're going to get exhausted. You're going to burn yourself out, and you're going to get lost in the idea of success and failure. Am I helping enough? Am I not? All that stuff. So we have this deeper understanding that we can go back to, we can rest in. That's why the meditation is so important, is that, yes, we do all this stuff, and then we can, you know, eventually, hopefully, live from that place, that deeper place, that we just keep going deeper and deeper into. I don't think, like, you get there. I think it's just an infinite depth, and we all just keep going to wherever we were able to get, and then we try to live from that place. Anyway. That took a lot of time. So,
that was interesting.
The first one of this would be slogan number two. The Pema Chodron one says, regard all dharmas with a lower D as dreams. Norman Fisher says, see everything as a dream. By dharmas with a lower D, if you ever see that, it just means phenomenon. So see all things as a dream. And Pema goes a little deeper into it, and she says, see everything as a passing memory. Right? And this is really tackling this illusion we have that things are substantial, that things are reliable and permanent. Right? Even this table, we look at this table, it seems to be substantial, right? Something that is solid, unchanging. But if you zoom in on a quantum level, it's, what is it, like 90% space or something? I mean, I'm not a scientist, but it's mostly space. If you look at us, we're just empty tubes. We're a lot of empty tubes, right? So things are not the way that we see them, right? It seems solid, but when you really look, there's really nothing there on that quantum level. When you really look, it's a lot more space than solidity. But not even getting to that complicated level, just look at, let's say, childhood. Where'd that go? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's gone. Is it memory? Right? You guys eating breakfast this morning, where is it? Before I got here, where did that go? It's memory now. Even this is going to, by the end of my sentence, what I just said is already a memory. And to go back to science, what we experience isn't even the present. Because the mind, I don't remember the nanosecond, whatever it is, that we're technically experiencing the past on one level. It's like looking up at the sky. You know, you're not seeing the stars as they are. You're seeing light from millions of years ago, possibly. And again, I'm not a scientist, so don't quote me on this stuff. But something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So that star might be burned out already. Might have burned out 100,000 years ago, but we're still seeing the light of it. So again, things are not as they appear. They're not as substantial. It's helpful because we think we're substantial. And we think things are, like I said, reliable and permanent. And we take it very, very seriously. We take our problems, and I'm not saying it's a joke, but we take our problems and our pain and our difficulties and ourselves and our opinions and our very, very seriously. And we don't have to, right? And that's kind of what this is saying, is that, you know, like even the hard times, think of a hard time you had in your life where you didn't think you were going to get through it. Not if you're having one now, but think of another one where you thought, how am I ever going to move forward with this? You did. And it's a memory, right? So everything is like a dream. You're in a dream world at night and you're getting chased by a monster, and then you wake up and you're safe in your bed. Right? Oh. What's the difference? And then if we really look at our mind, and this is where, you know, this stuff really is kind of focused on as well, is what of our thoughts? But a dream. What's different than the monster chasing you at night and the storyline that is chatting during the day? Both are out of your control for the most part. Both come and go. You know, so to start really seeing this kind of insubstantial, unreliable, constantly in flux reality, that we're not stuck. we're not stuck, and that we're not frozen being a certain way or caught in a certain pain, or we can make ourselves stuck by we kind of can keep choosing to do that, or we can just flow. And this is about ease, right? So it's, if you ever get confused, why is he teaching this? To reduce suffering and to be at ease, to have some ease, So does this one make sense so far? Let me see if there's anything I missed that she wrote. Just real quick, let me see. Okay, we did that one. And what I liked that she says is that it's really pointing to the fact that our situation's always open and vast. Does that make sense? Like, even in our minds, like, we can feel so solid and stuck and frozen, but the truth is it's always open. It's always flowing. There's no solidity anywhere. There's no solid ground to stand on. Or things are not solid or reliable as they seem. And this is good news, too, because we don't have to try so hard to maintain our happiness, let's say, or pleasant circumstances. And again, I'm not saying give up, don't work out, don't eat healthy. But when things change, of course, right? We can have that mindset. If we live in delusion that things are going to stay this way forever, or if I just get my situation just right, I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. It's bullshit. Sorry. I hate to say that. And it's not meant to be depressing. It's just how things are, right? And we can start to look at this stuff and learn, find ways to relate differently to it so we can be at ease. And she says, we can all lighten up. With our minds, we make a big deal out of ourselves, out of our pain, out of our problems. But they're all passing. They're all floating by, So it gives you courage, too. Like, I can face anything. Why? Because I know it's just like a dream. When I had my route before the route I have now at Frida, it was hard. I woke up at 2:20 some days, and I worked 8 or 9 hours. I was exhausted. Then I would go back out and teach. But I knew that one day I'd be looking back and be like, how the hell did I do that? And now I am. Right? It's gone. So I made a big deal out of it, and now it's just nothing but a memory that I can forget. That I want to forget.
It's a big deal at the time.
Yeah, so these things that seem like big deals at the time, this is a great thing. We see everything as a dream, right? Not as a joke. It's not about not taking life seriously, but being lighthearted, being a little more gentler with yourself, right? To lighten up in your practice and in your whole life. And she talks about gentleness. I really like this. Be very gentle with yourselves, right? And she said a good way to, kind of notice this in your mind is just by labeling thoughts. So we do that. We were taught that last time, right? We're counting our breathing. And when the mind would wander away, you just say thinking. All right? And then you can continue that into your daily life. You're sitting there cooking, and then the depressed mind comes in. Oh, my life is so terrible. And so, thinking. Right? Because that's all it is like a blip in your mind, and then it's gone. But how does it usually turn out, right? We grab hold of that blip, and we make it into a big ordeal. It's just a thought. It's just a dream. It's just like the dreams you had at night. You could wake up to cooking. Let me wake back up. Instead of being in your bed, you're there cooking. Or you're driving, and you're getting lost in a thought about, a fight you had with your spouse or something, and then you just wake up. Thinking. Angry memory. Thanks for reminding me. Right? And then back to driving. Right? So you can see everything in your mind as a dream too, and just kind of learn to sit with the unpleasant stuff that's driving those thoughts and start to make friends with that. And you'll see that doesn't last either. Right? So this impermanence, I've talked about it forever. Well, not forever, because nothing's forever. But I talked about it, and it's such so crucial to our well-being, is understanding impermanence. So labeling thoughts. Okay, so let's move on. Well, I'll read the commentary, too. I'm doing good. I got time. So whatever you experience in your life, pain, pleasure, heat, got that one in here, cold or anything else, is like something happening in a dream. Although you might think things are very solid, They are like a passing memory. You can experience this open, unfixated quality in sitting meditation. All that arises in your mind, hate, love, and all the rest, is not solid. Although the experience can get extremely vivid, it is just a product of your mind. Nothing solid is really happening. You know, and there's this great story about a monk who goes to a master and says, you know, my mind is so agitated. Like, can you help me? And the master says, sure. He said, show me your mind and I'll pacify it. So, obviously, he couldn't show him anything. And he said, he's like, you know, whatever, sir, or however you want to address him. I can't find it. I can't show you anything because I can't find anything. And he said, well, your mind's pacified. Right? And what an insight. If we could really understand that the voices in our head, the things that we believe, and where are they? Show it to me. What are thoughts? Why do we take them so seriously? They're not as solid as we think. It's not who we are. And we can start letting go of that and going deeper. So let's go to the next one. So examine the nature of awareness. So, you know, going to this one is, we had a talk. The first one I recorded here was about who am I. I don't know if you were there for that, if you remember that. But that's really what this kind of next part is exploring. It's like, all right, there's all these things happening, thoughts and feelings, our body sensations and things in our lives, and who's the one experiencing all that? That's the question that this is asking. This is an important question, one you can just continue to go deeper and deeper, you know, and for the rest of your life. I mean, I've went on a retreat twice. It's a 5-day retreat, and it's called the Who Am I retreat, and that the whole time you literally just ask that question and keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. Who's the one, you know, when you're angry, who's the one that's angry? Who's aware of that? You know, when you're in meditation and you are aware of your thoughts very vividly, who is that? What is that? You know, we just assume, oh, well, that's me. But have we ever really looked at it? Can you look at it? Or can you just rest in it, right? So there's a lot of fun stuff that comes up with this. And it's also a lot of these are like ways to like slice the other one. Like, let me explain it. Like she said, if you feel proud of yourself because how you really understood that everything is like a dream, then this slogan here is to challenge that smug certainty, right? So we get stuck on things. We might think, oh, everything's a dream, and we'll see what the fourth one is. I don't want to give it away, but that this is like, all right, well, who's the one that's aware of that? Right? And then that opens us up again, right? These challenging questions are meant not to be answered necessarily, but to be experienced. And to be like, I don't know. I don't know is a great place to be. There was a Korean Zen master, and he was always say, don't know mind, don't know mind. Like, always have that don't know mind. Why? Right? Because it leaves you in a state of openness. Right? Knowing is solidity. Not knowing is open. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a great place to be. So who is this? You know, who am I? Learning to, what, relax with insecurity and the restlessness. Like, learning to relax with all this from this place of awareness. So it's simply examine the nature of the one who has these insights, the one who knows. A question mark about who is doing all this thinking. Who's experiencing this? Right? And again, we don't ask, we just assume. It's just me. But we don't know what me is. And I'm not going to go through this, but if you want to listen to that first talk, we like dissected it. Like, am I the body? And we went through and we found out the body follows its own nature. You know, I don't want it to do certain things, and it does. So it's not there. It's not in the mind. It's not in the feelings. Like, everything's just flowing, and it's like there's no owner to this. It's just things following their own nature. And then there's this awareness of, well, there's something, right? There's somebody that knows something's happening, right? And this is our key to freedom, is to rest in awareness, not to get tossed by every thought and mood and belief and perception, because they're limited. right? Use them. I'm not saying thoughts and feelings are bad. You can still be who you are and live your life, but in a gentler, more lighthearted way, a more freeing way. let me see what it says on the back. Look at your mind at just simple awareness itself. Examine doesn't mean analyze. That's important. It means just looking and seeing if there's anything solid that we can hold on to. You know, our mind's constantly shifting and changing. Just look at that. All right. So we move on to the fourth one, and this is what I'm talking about. Like, so you think, all right, I get this now. And Norman Fisher defines it as don't get stuck on peace, and I like that. And this is the traditional way, is self-liberate, even the antidote. So basically, don't hang on to anything, right? Even the realization that there's nothing solid to hold on to is something to hold on to, right? And this is the trick with spirituality is you might see people who get really into it, but then they just create this whole new identity out of like this special person, and they wear all white and they shave their head and they have mala. Now they have this whole new identity, and the whole point is to kind of realize, you know, this openness that we don't have to define ourselves. And that defining ourselves is what really limits ourselves, that we can just live from this absolute quality and meet life that way, and then we create a whole new thing. I get it. I'm so good at this. I see everything as an illusion. I'm the master, you know? So it says, you know, in case you understood, let go of that understanding, right? Because there's pride, there's security, a sense of ground that we try to build up. So let go of all of that. And I like this, I underline this. So whenever you come up with a solid conclusion, pull the rug out. Right? And it's a constant pulling of the rug. Because then you're in that openness again. We don't like the openness. It's terrifying. We like our little cocoon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with the cocoon comes a lot of unnecessary suffering. So if you get used to just openness, it's not bad. It doesn't feel too bad. Then, you know, we can, you know, do that. So let me see. And I like this, like seeing what's left when the words go, when the ideas drop away. Right? That we're getting closer to the heart of the matter. Right? Meditation isn't about getting rid of your thoughts. This is just something I underlined. But you just learn to let go. That's it. You're getting better at letting go. If you learn to let things go, thoughts are not problems. Yeah, right. But for most of us, here we go.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are very tied up with our identity and with our sense. And with our sense of problem and our sense of how things are. So, not to hold on. So we have two more. Like, I'm going to make it. The next one is rest in openness of mind, or this says Alaya, the essence. But there is a resting place, a starting place that you can always return to. You can always bring your mind back home and rest right here now in the present with unbiased awareness, right? And this, I wrote this down, the pause practice. So this is a great way to connect with this open and spacious quality that we're trying to put into words that you can't, but we're trying to talk about it, right? To just pause. Just put everything down. Let's just try it real quick. Just close your eyes for a moment. Don't try to do something. Don't not try to do something. Just pause. So we can open the eyes. So she said, we can rest in the fundamental openness and enjoy the display of whatever arises without making such a big deal. Right? And this is why sitting practice is so important. Because can you just go out into the world right now and do it? Yeah, we're so caught. So if you sit every day, you're training yourself in letting go and letting be, really, allowing. Think of letting, because you might say, how do I let go? Just let things be what they are. And just rest in the awareness, in that unbiased, you know, non-judgmental attention or awareness of how things are. Oh, mind is doing this right now, right? Mind's following its own nature. Leave it alone. body's like this right now. Oh, achy, getting older. Oh, it's following its own nature. Leave it alone. You know, it's just like this. And that we have this refuge that we can come back to that's not dependent on the conditions. That's why they call it like the unconditioned. Ooh, with a big U, right? Because there is this part of us that we can rest in that's not conditioned by what happens in our lives, that's not conditioned by the state of our body or mind, that's just open and receiving the moment. And we can learn to rest there and live there and be a lot less confused. Or even just be aware that there's confusion, right? And then let that pass, because that's not substantial either. That's not solid or permanent. So you can see how all this stuff, it seems wacky, right? But it's very practical, and it's an important part of the rest of the stuff that we're going to do, which is very, very practical and more like more concrete. It's going to be a little easier to understand their actual practices. But to know that we can go back to this inner spaciousness and rest and truly rest and be at ease and to have that ability to hold life the way it is, that's the fifth one. And now this one's a little tricky. In post-meditation, be a child of illusion. So I think what this is saying is, okay, you see that everything's a dream and an illusion. Now go be a child in that illusion. Right? So it's not, you don't want to get stuck on everything is empty and meaningless. Right? That's not what it's saying. But that there's no substantial anything and nothing matters. It's, you know, it's like kind of saying, well, if you think that, now go out. And what is it, you know, what is a child like? Joyful, present, curious, right? So yes, okay, everything might be like a dream and not as substantial as we think, but it's still our life. And we can go into it childlike, not childish. We got plenty of that, right? People like that. Childlike. Right? Joyful. Really like wondering. Like you might walk by a bunch of flowers and just say flowers, but like imagine a child would see each one like, wow, what is this? We think we know because we call it flowers and we've seen it before that it's not special, or, you know, by labeling things, we diminish them in a sense. So to come back to that level of openness. And when you're on a retreat, not engaging in the normal things, it's like this whole new world opens up. You know, you watch like a leaf fall in the wind and it's like God touched you. You're like, oh my God, a leaf falling in the wind. And then you go home and you try to tell like your wife about it, your husband, and they're like, a leaf falling in the wind. It touched my heart. Did they have you smoke anything while you were on this retreat? Or, no, you don't understand.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, so... So that's just kind of saying, okay, don't get stuck. Like all these are, you're going to see, it's like, don't get stuck here, don't get stuck here. Know these things, but don't create a belief or identity around it. Just know them and understand them and then still live with joy anyway, right? So that's the absolute. So that's the hardest out of all of them. So if, is there any questions on that? I have about 2 or 3 minutes to answer.
I just want to know if you're doing the Saturday afternoon retreat that you did in the fall. Are you doing it again in the spring?
There's one coming up at the JCC in April. And there's a place in Teaneck.
Do you mean in Tenafly or somewhere else?
Yeah, the Tenafly one. There's a place in Teaneck that I did one. I'm going to try to do another. And I was talking to Lori about doing one here again. And making sure the air conditioner is not on 35 degrees. It was great training, by the way. We had a retreat and it was freezing. Freezing. But it was great. I mean, I didn't plan for you guys to be very uncomfortable. But what a great training. What a great training. To be at ease anyway, right? But yeah, I think we're going to talk about that. And, you know, Lori and I have been discussing... As long as, you know, my job doesn't change. And look, if I did get a normal job Monday through Friday, I would work it out to be an evening or a weekend. I'm not just going to throw this away. This is one of my favorite classes. But we did talk about possibly every week, but the only problem is that there's no there wouldn't be extra funding. So then we'd have to say like $5 a class or something. And I, you know, so we don't know how comfortable we were with that, but it is an option. If you want to come weekly, we could do something like that. It's just, we'd have to like do almost like a donation or something. Yeah. So just putting that out there. But any other question?
Maybe we could get the Friends to pay for that.
Who?
The Friends of the library. They did pay for some things that go on here.
Who maybe. Are the Friends? I want friends that pay for things.
We all meet together. We have programs that, like Jennifer had a program for Harry Potter that we paid.
Oh.
She brought in owls. Yeah, I'll bring that up.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a terrible amount. I'm very flexible. But it wouldn't be a lot. But a little bit would help. Okay.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
Just what about like that perseveration, like when you wake up in the morning, like say you're going through a tough time like financially or whatever, and then like that's the first thought you wake up to, or it's like kind of present. So like how would you say I'm thinking and then...
Well, yeah, you could say thinking. I mean, the mind is... got that negativity bias, you know, so it wants to survive, and of course it's going to focus on, you know, the money, or, you know, because that's what keeps us getting food, and that's how the mind is created, right? So we can know that we have financial difficulty, and thank you for reminding me, right? Just have a friend that, you know, because the mind will spit out whatever it's going to spit out, and then it's just labeling really helps. And then just coming back directly to the fear, right? Because there is fear there, that's I'm sure, and confusion and nervousness. And to say, yes, thank you for reminding me. And then kind of coming back to that uneasiness and learning to hold that. And that's really what kind of transforms things is. And then, you know, going along with this, understanding that you're not going to be in this particular situation forever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to get better. I mean, situations change. For better or worse, but that it will change. And again, one day, 10 years from now, you're going to look back, oh, remember that time when I was nervous about our finances? Yeah, right. So,
how do we get to a resting point where we could meditate?
How do you get to
a resting point that you could meditate? That's my biggest problem, is just to wind down.
Well, you know, and you don't have to wind down. You just have to pay attention. Right, so you can sit there and see that you're agitated and that you don't want to sit there, and you know, and that's the strength of this practice comes from sitting, whether you want to sit there or not, right? Because it's our moods, like, because what's in charge in that moment? Your mood. Oh, I don't want to sit down, or I'm too agitated. Like, ideas and thoughts and beliefs and moods are preventing it, right? So just don't let those thoughts take over your body or your actions, and just sit anyway. So that's why it's good. Just like commit. I'm going to sit 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day. I'm going to do it at this time. And I'm, whether I feel sick that day, whether I'm angry, right, that this awakened mind can hold it all. And it's not about, we have to get out of the mindset that it's about feeling good and de-stressing. Will you feel good most of the time? Yeah. Will you de-stress if you meditate? Yeah. But that's not the point. Right? It's to be able to hold our lives as they are and to rest in something deeper and to have a joy and a peace that's unshakable no matter what life circumstances are presenting themselves, whether that's internal or external. And you become you're better at facing reality. Right? And you don't get, instead of like, for example, in the financial situation, instead of like spending all day like, how am I going to pay for this and this is not going to work and what's going to happen, I could be putting all that energy into where can I get more money? What job can I get? Let me, you know, there's, you know, it's just like you put your energy in the right places.
Then your
right?
daughter gets engaged and you have to.
Yeah, then you have to figure out how to pay for the wedding and.
No, it's all joyful though.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I've got before meditation and this whole. New world has opened up. When bad things happen, usually it's bad things, not good things. You don't say there's some good things.
Right, exactly.
But when bad things happen, you say, well, the one thing you can always depend on in this world is change, and everything will change. And living as long as I have, when I look back, I look at some of the really, really pretty bad stuff that happened, and I'm thinking, I can barely remember it. You know what I mean? Wow. So it's
that's
like
a great insight.
Everything changes. If it's raining, it's going to be sunny, or it may be cloudy, or it may snow tomorrow. We don't know.
Right.
But you can depend on it. So your financial situation, trust me, you're going to look out 10 years from now, 20 years from now. I can't believe I have all this money.
There is a light.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying, is that we have to be the change.
Exactly.
Just go along with it, because it will change.
It will change.
Word is to adapt.
To adapt.
Yeah.
Well, they say roses die even though we love them, and weeds grow even though we hate them. I thought there's a truth bigger. There's a bigger truth, and we try to conform the truth to us, and we get frustrated and we suffer because it doesn't work that way. We can try to do something logical and more skillful and try to adapt to what's true. And what's true is where you find yourself right now. And that's it. That's what's true. How do you relate to that? How do you work with that? And, you know, that's where we are. Start where you are. Okay? All right, let's meditate before I talk the whole time. So, get comfortable. We'll kind of explore kind of what we were talking about in our meditation today. So we start with the sound of the bell, as always. Just listen to the bell. And just like everything else in the world, you see that it's like a dream. It comes, it goes. It's here, and then it's gone. As always, beginning by simply arriving to life as it is, not as we want it to be, but as it truly is. And just seeing what's here in the body, in the mind, in the room around us. We can hear sounds, thoughts, sensations. It seems pretty solid, right? It seems like here we are, right? But let's look a little deeper. So we'll start with the body. Let's just take a look. See what you notice in the body, what sensations are currently here. So your feet touching the floor. It seems solid, but if we lifted our feet, that feeling would be gone. So it's like a dream, right? It's there and then gone. Can we say it ever even existed then? Who knows? Feel your bottom on the chair. Feel the pressure of yourself sitting. Right, there it is. Seems solid enough, but again, if we stand up, gone. So temporary, unreliable, impermanent. Not me. hands on the knees or in the lap. Notice. That feels like. Observe the breath. That's a great teacher of impermanence. Can't hold an inhale forever. The inhale disappears and the exhale appears. Maybe there's an ache or a tightness or a pain. Notice that. Especially with pain, we think it is solid. Then we need to escape it. But look deeply. If something hurts, just look at it. Notice that it is changing. Sometimes stabbing, sometimes burning or stinging, sometimes dull. Sometimes not even present. So we can relax with it. It's changing too. We don't need to make a big deal out of it. It's just the body doing body things. Sometimes painful. And our feelings are also body sensations. So if you have something floating around today, maybe some leftover stress or worry or fear, anger, or any of the other ones, joy, happiness, peace, just be spacious enough to accommodate it and to just really feel it. Because you won't feel this way forever. You might not even feel this way by the end of the meditation. Right, seeing it with this unbiased awareness. Then we'll shift to the sounds. Definitely nothing solid here. Notice how things kind of come out of silence and go back to silence. There's nothing really to hold on to. Listening is an easy way to connect with the spacious quality of mind. Just listen, see what you hear. And there's naturally this openness, this opening. And then finally going towards the mind. And really, thoughts are pretty close to sounds. They kind of just arise and cease. It's not like you can point it out or grab it or see it. And there may be repetitive patterns in your mind, but that doesn't make them solid. Doesn't make them reliable. They're subject to change. They come, they go, And the less you feed them, the less they show up. So again, as you rest here in that kind of non-judgmental attention, don't give your thoughts any ground to stand on. Let them be like the sounds. Just let them go. They make a noise and then they go away. Back to stillness. Back to silence. And you can label the thoughts if you want. Thinking. Worried mind. Busy mind. Good to see you. Right? Just like that. Just thoughts. Nothing solid. Not who you are. Just something arising and ending in awareness. That you can choose to use or you can choose to leave alone. So let's come back to the body as well. Well, let's try to include everything. So imagine you just became vast, empty space. No edges, no separation. You're just holding things as they are. And the mind, again, following the nature of mind, probably busy and firing off all these little flare-ups of reactivity and thinking. Sensations, sounds, feelings, all just coming up based on the circumstances of the moment and then leaving. So don't make this about feeling good. Don't make it about changing the way that you're feeling or thinking. Just let go. Because what you're looking for, you already are. You just need to remember and just let go of the things that are preventing you from experiencing that. There's no right way it's supposed to be or feel. There's just your body and mind in this moment. And again, it's going to change, so just open to it. And this whole time that we've been exploring, there's been a knower, right? There's been the one who knows what I'm telling you to pay attention to. Who is that? See if you can turn the awareness onto itself. And just notice that there's this knowing quality that takes no effort, doesn't need to be turned on, doesn't get turned off. Has nothing to do with your identity or your name. Nothing to do with anything, really. It's just there. Awake. Open. Spacious. You might not be able to see it like you can see a thought in awareness, or like you can experience a sensation in your body, but you can get a sense of what knowing is about, what consciousness is. So as you experience anything, try to keep in mind, who is it that knows this is happening? What is that knowing? Where is it? What is it like? And again, don't be upset if you can't figure it out. There's nothing to figure out. Just be it and experience yourself being it. There is all of these changing conditions, and then there's this unchanging knowing that doesn't change based on conditions. That's not born into this world like a thought or a feeling or a sound, but really is that which allows those things to come and go in the first place. Unbiased awareness doesn't pick, it doesn't choose, it doesn't judge. It's pre all of that, pre-thinking, pre-feeling. It's just there, receiving, allowing. In a moment, I'll hit the bell again and just be spacious enough to accommodate it. Allow it to pass through you without holding on to it. Let it end. It's gonna anyway. So just simply hear the sound and watch it disappear. So all together, taking a nice deep breath in the nose, out the mouth. Very slowly start to move your fingers, your toes. You can kind of rock side to side. And when you're ready, you can open the eyes.
Yeah.
By losing yourself, you find yourself.
Yeah.
So, you can see resting in awareness is not so bad. All right, now how do we embody that? How do we live from that place? It's not about how we feel right now. I'm sure you all feel warm and fluffy, right, or fuzzy. That will go as soon as somebody cuts you off when you drive out of here. But how can you stay in that place of awareness so that you respond appropriately and you're the most useful in this world? So we're going to continue relative bodhicitta. It's a lot easier to understand. We're going to revisit Tonglen, which is what we did one time, the sending and receiving practice. That's a big part of this whole training. So I think... could be wrong. I think we might be exploring that next time. So, 2 weeks. Let me see what date that means. So, what is it? The 11th and the 25th.
Okay.
Oh, yeah? Good.
That's a pretty good. 25th.